Here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, founder of the Heartfelt Foundation, and other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about MSIA.
I would like to know if there are some methods in dealing with death, in particular my mother.
I would suggest a few things to you. Whatever you want your mother to know about how you feel, I would tell her. Anything you want to know from your mother about you as when you were young, would ask her. I asked my mother, I said, was I born out of wedlock? She said, you got a brother and two sisters older than you. I said, I know that. She says, well, why are you asking that? And I said, because it's a question that's in my mind. She says, no. She said, you're illegitimate. I said, was my brother born out of wedlock? She says, well, that's none of your business because you're not him. And I said, you're right. But I said, but I figured out my first one. She says, I was pregnant before we got married. I said, why'd you do that? She says, because I wanted your father. I said, okay. And I said, was I the end of the birth pattern? She said, yes. And I said, then why did you have my sister 7 years later? She says, she was a mistake. I said, thanks. She said, but after we got her, we were so grateful that it was a mistake, we knew God planned it. So she took it and gave it away in about 2 minutes. And I asked her, how did you feel about me when you were pregnant with me? She said, I didn't want you. I said, why not? She said, it was depression time. And I found out a lot of things. I said, did you try to abort me? She said, twice. I said, did you feel guilty about that? She said, I felt bad that I didn't do it. this is a difficult thing to take when you're a human being going, wah! I said, how'd you try it? And she said, oh, she told me the things that I recall. One was like drinking something that makes you get a lot of diarrhea and your body goes completely out of whack and you spontaneously abort. And the other one was probably a hanger of some kind or other. I said, then I was born. She said, yeah. She said, you know, when you were born, you were sick. You were born. They had a blue light in the room. They put me underwater. I was born underwater. First Lamaze baby. And had double pneumonia twice within the first 6 weeks of life. I said, how'd you feel about those things? She said, I almost felt so guilty and I felt so bad. And she started letting go. I said, how long have you had that in there? She said, from the day you were born. And I had my mother wrapped around my finger. But I didn't know why. And I said, you're free of all that now. And she said, well, I think you had this when you were younger because of this. And I think you had this because of this. What was funny was she was accurate. It checked out genetically. But also it disappeared. My closure with her, because I knew she was going to die. Not that day. But I mean, she was getting up there. And she was running illnesses. And when somebody starts to run illnesses, you know that they're running a death parallel. And they're just getting rehearsals. She was more healthy for my and her relationship and with me physically. She'd be around me and she'd be well and healthy, no symptoms. Because I was the only one in the family that was clean with her. We were really clean with each other. And I told her things I felt and why I felt it and why I thought it. And she sat and told me things, why she felt and why she thought it. She said, you know, I've never talked to your dad like I've talked to you. I said, you're wasting time with me. Goodbye. And got up and walked out of the room. And she was smart. She took the clue and went in and just, they talked. I was there visiting just for 2 weeks. And I left about two days later. I left. And I was supposed to be there like 8 more days. Because she was involved with him. And it's appropriate for me to get out of there, even though I didn't see him again for a couple of years. And hadn't seen him for 3 or 4 years before that. mine happened fast. And if you see, that's in a way, it's like really measuring the loving that you have, is to do what's this. I could have demanded, hey, what about me? I'm here. But that's not where life is. Life was where it's going on, where people are making the growth. And I would suggest you sit down and have something. I told you this so that you get courage to do it. Because there's a thing that says, oh, yeah, it's neat. I'll go do it, and you go do it, and you won't because it's not courage. But you remember this. You'll say, wait a minute. You'll start out doing it for you. And you might end up doing it for your mother, which is, in a way, giving her back the part of life that she has kept held back because of you. You give it back to her. Now, she may up and die in the next day. But when my mother died and had the funeral, all the kids in the family were grief-stricken except me. And they all said, you know, well, you'd spend time talking to Mom. What'd you talk about? And I told them, they said, why didn't you tell us that? And I said, I did. I sent you books and stuff that I'd written, information. I said, I didn't read that junk. And they said, tell me. I go, you don't read my junk. Why listen to what my junk I'm going to tell you? It's going to be the same junk. They've all had to really process through. Do I miss them? Yeah, I miss them, but I don't have anything here like, gee, I'd like to tell you this or tell you that. And there are ways to do that after a person dies, if you know how. Like spiritual exercises at a sanctuary. You can go in there and bring them in and talk to them. It's amazing what they say. And one thing that if you are doing closure of that type is to recognize inside of yourself that they supplied the medium of your life. In that sense, they gave you life or the opportunity for your life. And if it's true you feel grateful for that, look to your life to see where you're using it and where you're not using it. And where you're not using it, if there's a reason why you're not, fine. But if there's not a reason, then go do that. Just do it. If you say, well, I'm too much weight and I don't want this weight I'm carrying, and I'm not doing the running that I could do or the walking, I got the time, I just don't do it, do it. And sometimes get an agreement with somebody else. Come by and let's do it together. People do more SEs at a retreat than they will at home by themselves. And people get a lot more out of the retreat, and they'll say, it's because you were there and this, that. It's because they're doing their SEs. And they'll do it knowing I'm coming in town because I can tell the difference. And so they'll get busy and start, you know, you understand what I'm saying? So I'm sort of like a prod or a pusher on people to get them to do what they really want out of their life to happen, where we won't do it ourselves. And so together as a group, we encourage each other. And if people stop doing it, you swear at them, call them cuss words. And they go, oh. They get shook up and go, hey, I hate you. I'm getting out of here. Well, at least they're doing something. Get it? They're going to free up energy. They'll whip out and look at that and go, that smart son of a gun, he got me going. And they'll be back again because they'll know it. I don't care when they come back or if they don't, as long as they're doing their life, which is important. I'll tell you a really neat thing is, and I did this and it was really terrific. And you'd have to modify it. But I got some roses and took my mom on a date. I said, I want to take you to dinner. My dad said, can I go? I said, not this time. And he got a little huffy. I said, listen, you've had her all these years, okay? He goes, yeah. He said, but you were in a lot of those years. And I just go, and my dad's going to win in any argument because dads know how to do that. I could outsmart him, but he'd win. But that means I didn't really outsmart him. I just, you know, if I go, fine. And I took his car and gave my mom roses, took her to a nice place. And I told him what I was doing. I said, this is my mother, and she's my date, and this is special. She's the first woman I ever loved. And we had a great, great dinner. Then we went to a movie. We sat up in the balcony, ate popcorn, held hands, and watched The Sound of Music. 2 days later, I took her out on another date, and we saw My Fair Lady. She said, why won't your dad do things like this? And I thought, oh, God, I've ruined something. So I told him. He said, okay, I got it. And he would then do things, but they would go to the country club more often, on the level of their peers. And he took her to some shows and bought popcorn, and they ate popcorn and got messed up, and they hadn't done it for years. They weren't doing something with their life that was important called sharing it. If you do your life, you've got to share it with somebody. You've got to. If you go run, you're going to run into somebody. If you go out to dinner, you're going to see somebody. You're going to do something with somebody. That's why, see, one of the reasons why I think religion, churches, and social events are so great, because you go there and you're going to be doing something with somebody, even if it's looking at them. And I think that's really, really important. And pretty soon you'll start to look at yourself, which is where we're going to turn up anyway. And hugging and touching people is really, really important. Before I'd ever talk to my mom or my dad, my mom, I'd hug her. My dad, I'd always reach out and touch him. I would shake hands. But always when we left, we hugged. Because that touch opens the spirit of the other person. And honesty comes out in such a profound way that all of us are standing there shocked at our audacity to be truthful and honest and say things that normally would hurt and abrase people and cut them to the quick. Everybody just knew all of that stuff, and thank God finally we're honest. But we never told everything about everything. It was just that this thing was going on, and we knew we could, and it was not necessary. That attitude going towards your mom will be the greatest attitude to start the bridge into the place where you want to go. And you should realize that if you don't do these things, then start to prepare yourself for her death in terms of denying she's died and feeling despair about it and denying the things and then wishing you had them and then feeling bad the rest of your existence. And so when a person dies, at that point, you're going to grieve no matter how much you've prepared. And there'll be a time that you're going to do it. And that time is going to vary depending upon a whole lot of things. If you're married and got your own kids, the grieving stops as soon as the kid cuts himself or hurts or goes to the hospital emergency. You go, oh, God. Then later on you think about it. And time is a thing that has to pass. And with it, the memory of that goes with it. And it's a great healer. And you have to let it. You have to let your mind go with the time and let the memory go with the time. And the way you do that is to do with your life now. And if we keep doing it right now, we don't have to do memory because there's nothing to remember or do with it because it's all done, completed.
Any suggestions on being more conscious in essays?
You know, I've had people that are all different type of, they have all different type of approaches of how they perceive life. And all of them have great success in soul transcendence. And I've had all those same people who have had no success in soul transcendence. But their karmas are all vastly quite different that they're working with. And so I can't say those who can see are better off than those who can hear. Some people will come into the movement and get their astral, causal, mental, and etheric initiation within, God, like 2-3 weeks. And everybody goes, wow, I can't believe that. You don't know they've spent 10,000 years getting to that, and you've only spent 1,000 getting to yours. See, nobody knows the other things, so you take it what they say, oh, well, this. Then they want their soul initiation 5 more lifetimes. And you may get yours all done this lifetime and gone. We just don't know, so the best thing is goes, I don't know, and sit back and relax and just keep doing yours. Going unconscious is part of doing SEs. And part of the reason why a person is placed unconscious is because in former places of existence, we have done things that if we considered that we did them in this lifetime, we would kill ourselves. We would. We'd literally maybe pull our eyes out, sit here and just go, oh, God, I did that, and just take and pull your eyes out. You've ruined this existence as far as seeing goes. So it's best for you not to see that, but you still get to work it because it's yours. And when you get at the soul level, lot of people see this stuff and they just go right to sleep again. And they say, well, I'm not staying awake in the soul. And I said, no, because you haven't strengthened yourself here in this physical body to know that that was like a motion picture. And you didn't like the picture show, but you don't have to keep running it. And it'll be cleared. And so, let us just say, the Lord in His goodness and graciousness blinds you from that physically here and says the responsibility is to the soul because it was done in another existence, not to the body in this existence. And so then we get to clear that from a higher level of consciousness because it's not here in this level. Was working with a person the other day, and we were working, and he all of a sudden he picked up, was it your right shoulder? It was terribly aching. And he said, this is so painful. It just came out of nowhere. And so I said, well, let's look at it. And about five questions, he was back in Mongolia having his shoulder cut off. And just like five questions. And it was still hurting him, so I cleared it through me for him, physically. And I didn't get it. But I'd be careful trying to do that, because I might end up with what he had, because the karma wasn't through. Except it was through, and he had it. And then all of a sudden he said, I remember once when you told me I was pulled apart by wild horses in another existence. They just... Now, see, we can go, oh my gosh, because we don't do that. But if we had seen us do that... another existence that was here as though we just did this to our kid today, we wouldn't want to live this life. This life would be, we wouldn't want that. And so there is a real just, not justice, a just thing in the spirit towards us as spiritual beings. And so we're shielded and protected by grace of the Lord. So I sit at the computer and I'm working. So a lot of times I sit like this, holding my head up, looking at the computer screen. When I get through, it looks like I got a black eye here. Because this may be 40 minutes. And then once in a while, I do something. and also, I was having a lot of ribs go out on the left side. And so I'd be stretching up like this. I could pop them. And also, I'd call somebody and say, hey, put the rib in. We know how to do it fast. Go pop, pop, they're in. So I thought, yeah, this is about 6 months now. That's probably long enough to show that I'm really stupid about this. And I don't like to sit like this, because every once in a while I have to move my hand to use the computer. Because once you get wedged in like this, it hurts to move, you know. Is everybody who can follow that? And so it's like that, and then also you're tilting your head up, and you're in your eyes, you get trouble, and your eyes water. So I said, well, I can do this on the same length of time by sitting up straight and watching what I'm doing and just as an obedience to my own body and duty, do this. So I was doing it, and all of a sudden I found my body moving into a familiar pattern. So I just unplugged my computer, it's portable, took it in and sit in a big chair that vibrates and goes up and down. And I sit down there in that thing, lean back, and just sit and did it. And every time the body would try to go down, these rollers would hit it. So I just stopped them and put them in that spot and just had them work it and work it and work it. And as I sit and worked on it, I felt that thing letting go. And then I remember sitting back watching in a lot of the seminars I've done, you see me sit like this. So people could have seen my pattern for the last 15 years coming up there. You'll probably see that again, but you won't see it for a long time because now you see me back over at this side. I'm running compensation knowing that I'm probably going to want to go back there. I'm consciously watching. Now, when I go back like this, I'm like you going to sleep in your SEs. I don't know I'm doing that until I start to tell myself, okay, I had, first of all, know that I was dumb and stupid. So I said, this is being dumb and stupid to be this long doing this. Immediately, some light goes on and goes, you're an authority over yourself. You know how to change that. You can tell a lot of people change it. So I got everything lined up, sit in the chair, and I sit there for a few minutes in front of the computer and go, how's this feel? This feels good. How do I want it to feel in 2 hours? Good. Then I hadn't better do that bad thing that makes it feel bad. And this has only been a couple weeks. 1 week that I've really been working, but it's like 2 or 3 hours every day. And I've already can feel the body letting go its pattern. But if I stop doing computer work entirely, there's a good chance that would clear immediately, except for one thing. That's part of my job. And I'm going to do that job. But I also know that after 30 minutes of doing that, I get up and walk around, stretch, pull up, bend, pull the thing around. And right now I could do that where 2 weeks ago, I'd get up maybe like this and it'd lock and I'd go, oh, wow, that back is really bad. No. But you might say, well, that's not hard to do. It was hard for me. You know, everybody's problem's easy except the one you have and yours is hard. But I still went at it. It's easy now. But what happens tonight when I work on the computer again, I'm going to watch that I don't get sore. Because there's a test for me to go like, to throw the body out like this. That immediately stresses the ribs and all the muscles up and down that side. And I'm going to pull them out. I'm going to pull my ribs out of place. I'm going to do that to me. Me, a wonderful, beautiful, transitory person is going to go, wham, and in 5 minutes I'm going to go, oh, God. I'm not going to do that to me anymore. But I know that my body's going to want to do that. I even take the seat and build a pillow up on one side like that. So when I go to roll against it, it is forcing me to come back straight. Because I may get so busy in the computer that I'm lost. Woo! Since I know that, I'm going to build this thing against me, for me. And I'm determined. I've even taken books and opened pages and shoved a little bit with this part of the book up here so it'll roll me right. But now I'm saying, okay, I've got the crutches down. I needed those crutches for now. Now I'm at a place where I'm more aware. Now I'm starting to feel my body when it goes a little bit. And that, so I watch it. I play with it to go, well, let's see how far that pattern is pulling me. But I don't want to play too much because it's very easy to go right back into it. That's why I tell people, if you quit smoking, don't smoke another cigarette to see if you're over it. That's like, oh, wham, am I over this? Oh, no, there it is. You're over it, stay out of it. You don't have to see that you're over anything. You just stay out, and not having the aches and pains in there are important. But you have to come awake to it. Sometimes it hurt bad enough that I had to stop what I was doing and go get some help. It's like, God, this is bad. For me to get stopped because of pain is a really kind of an unusual thing. Because I go, pain, all right, and just keep going through it. I'll get through this, and then I'll deal with the pain. But this pain goes, you're going to deal with me. Now, when it gets to that place, you've got to realize you're stupid. And there was nothing in the world that was doing it except me. And so I spent time finding out. I'd sit in the chair and just watch how my body would take off. But then what was amazing, what was absolutely amazing, is one day I was sitting there, and I went like this. And I said, who on earth did that I know? And it was my basketball coach in high school. And he would sit like this. Watching us. And he's doing that once. I looked at him and he said, Hinkins, shower. Because I wasn't doing what he wanted, so I got to shower early. Which wasn't too bad, but means you don't get to play the next game. And all of a sudden I got, good God, I got an imprint. So I just sit down there and pulled him inside of me, went in my sanctuary, and thank you for showing up and correcting this, and you're out of my life. But I realized, God, this guy sneaked one in on me because I had a desire so much to perform, to play basketball, that I was watching him even out of the corner of my eye to see how I was doing. Like I wouldn't dribble the ball to see if the coach watched it, I'd dribble it right. That's too much self-approval seeking. You know, to seek approval from somebody else. That's too much. Started correcting it. When that went away, it was amazing how whatever was holding my back disappeared. But I think there's somebody else underneath there. So I'm watching for him. There may not be. But I'm not going to play the stupid game that I got it, it's done, I'm finished. Because that's a stupid game. I'm playing the game of I'm watching to see who's going to show up. Is it hard for me to do? No harder it is to look around the room here or watch a movie or TV or anything else. I've decided I'm not going to shut anything off. It's going to be open. In that, I get to change. Now, see, if I said, I got him, that's over, it's done, how do I account for that when it starts to happen again? I said, it's over, it's done. I'm authority in my field. Therefore, I'm stupid to myself, and I mess myself up royally, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep it free-flowing. See, it only works while it works. When it doesn't work, you got to have the wit to let it go, change it, modify it, do something else. After all my years of saying that, I'm getting an opportunity to review it. The law of reversibility is coming around saying, hi, do you really want to change this? I really do. And that's the attitude you have to carry inside of yourself. It's not an unpleasant attitude. Do you people understand that? It's an awareness attitude, and one of like, God, I'm glad that I'm looking. It's like walking down a path in the forest, and there's a snake there that's deadly, and you're not watching, and it could have get you, but you watch, you go, oh, wow, I could have stepped on a rattlesnake. It didn't rattle. Thank God I was watching. You watch for more snakes a lot better, but while you're watching down looking like this, a short tree smacks you in the head. Life is like that, folks. I don't know how to get out of that one except you're going, either that or stay out of the forest. But I found a better way. Go on the path where others have gone and just send your dog out in front of you. If he comes back, it's okay. And, you know, I mean, there's ways to protect and watch yourself, and that's, everybody has to do that according to how you know and you see life and how you do life and how you want your life to be. Maybe no one can do it the way I'm talking about, and maybe you might say, gee, mine is parallel that. Therefore, learn from my mistake.
Beirut Beisham.
John Rogers' closing words were Beirut Beisham, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.